Has any of you been in a situation where you worked as diligently as you know how, and not only haven't been thanked for it, but you got criticized for something that is totally irrelevant to your priorities in life? I mean, ladies, you keep a great home, you're a great mother and wife, you godly woman, and then your mother-in-law comes in and criticizes your hair. I mean, guys, have you ever been in a situation when you feel that you're a good provider, you work hard, you're a godly man, you walk with the Lord, you serve the Lord, you do everything that you know how, and then your older brother comes in and he says, "Why haven't you rotated the tires?" You know, something irrelevant. Something that is really not an important as far as life is concerned. Well, critical people have a knack of doing that. They have a knack of picking up on something so irrelevant to life, and they criticize you for it. Please listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you, because I think most of us know people like that, and I want you to understand where they're coming from. Because critical people tend to focus on the unimportant things of life. They really are gifted on majoring on the minors of life. They tend to focus or specialize on things that are irrelevant. Now, some of you are saying, "Well, why do they do this?" Well, I'm glad you want to know, because I want to tell you. At the very root of critical people, at the very root, there is not what they criticize, but there lurks envy and jealousy. And it manifests itself on the irrelevant issues of life. They tend to criticize those things. These are basically what I call smokescreen. They don't come out and say, "Well, look, I am really jealous because you have this and I don't." They don't do that. They don't come out and say, "I am envious because of such and such." They don't do that. No, no, no. They disguise their criticism intentionally or most times unintentionally. That they make their criticism to sound so important. I even have known people who made their criticism sound to be so spiritual, you know. They couch it in a sound reason. And the undiscerning person who's listening to that, I said, "Oh, yeah, 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 I can see that, I can see that." He can't see a thing. And you know, that's exactly what Miriam and Aaron were doing to Moses, their brother. It's exactly what they were doing. They were jealous, they were envious of him, and they criticized him for something that's irrelevant. They were jealous and they were envious of his leadership. They were jealous and envious of God's anointing. They were jealous and envious for his success. So what? Instead of coming out and saying it in the open, they criticized him behind his back for marrying a non-Jewish wife. Now, critical people remind me of one of those cartoons, you know, Linus and Lucy, that I love so much. And Linus asked Lucy, he said, "Why are you always so anxious to criticize me?" And Lucy said, "Well, I just think I have a knack for seeing other people's faults." "What about your faults?" asked Linus. Lucy, with a straight face, said, "Well, I have a knack for overlooking them." I even heard about a critical, this is actually a true story. A critical lady went into a hardware store and the clerk was sort of following her everywhere. She criticized everything she saw. Every shelf, every item, everything, she had something negative to say. And finally, she got into the broom section. She said, "These brooms will never hold. They are poorly designed. They are poorly constructed. I mean, they are so shoddy. They even have rough handles. I don't know what possible purpose these brooms could serve." And the clerk very simply looked at her and said, "Well, why don't you take one and ride it home and see what purpose it would serve?" I have a hunch. That's my personal opinion. I have a hunch that there is a Miriam and Aaron in every home. In every family. I have a hunch that there is a Miriam and Aaron in every office, organization. There is even a Miriam and Aaron in every church. You have a Miriam who instigate criticism, and you have Aaron who just goes along. Yeah, yeah. You have a Miriam who ferment criticism, and Aaron who says, "You're right, Miriam." A Miriam who starts the gossip chain, and then an Aaron who just repeats it. You know, Aaron, as soon as the people came and said, "You know, Moses disappeared, come and make us a calf so we can worship." The next thing he said, "Okay." And his lame excuse was, "You know, I just dumped all the gold there and the calf came out." It's the same temperament coming out here. And I have met people who are the victims of the last person they talk to. I mean, their opinion gets made up by the last person they talk to, the last book they read, the last article they read, the last news item they saw on television. That's how they make up their minds. Aaron was one of those people. By the way, the roles of Miriam and Aaron, it doesn't have to be male-female type thing. You can get a male who does play the role of Miriam just as well as you have a female who would play the role of Aaron. Gender has nothing to do with it. And I was thinking about this, and a friend of mine told me about the pastor who really learned how to handle criticism. He said somebody was sending him letters that are unsigned. And he said, "I made a decision a long time ago. If I get letters that are unsigned, I just throw them in the trash can." But one day he got a letter with only one word in the middle of the page. "Fool." Well, he didn't know what to do with this one. But he got up and he said, "You know, I have been used to getting unsigned letters. This time the person forgot to write the letter and signed his name." You know, in all seriousness, personal criticism, even when it is justified, it is very painful. I don't care who you are. You could be a great saint of God. Personal criticism, even when it is justified, it is hard to take. But unjust criticism hurts even much deeper, especially when it comes from people that you love, people that you respected, people that you have trusted. And what makes this particular criticism of Moses to be very excruciating for him is because it questioned his motives. You know, we have been seeing that after all that Moses did for Israel, after fighting many personal battle with Israel regarding their idolatry and their murmuring and their immorality and all of that he's been through with the people of Israel, not one time any of them questioned his motive. Not one. Until now. Until this point. And it comes from his own family. His brother and his sister. If you examine the very heart of unfair criticism, unjust criticism, you're going to find the jealousy and envy lurking deep down below the surface. People often strike out on someone whom they perceive to be more important than they are. You notice I said perceive, because perception can be deadly. They strike out at somebody they perceive more important than they are. They will lash out on someone whom they perceive to be more successful than they are. They will lash out on someone they perceive to be having something that they don't have. They lash out on someone whom they perceive to be more popular than they are. And that is why the person who never gets criticized is the person who says nothing, does nothing, and is nothing. And even then, I'm not really sure that it works. I'm convinced that there is no way that you can avoid criticism. I've just come to that conclusion. Listen to this volley aimed at a well-known person. "He is no better than a murderer. He is treacherous in private friendship, a hypocrite in public life, an impostor who has either abandoned all good principles or else never had any." This comment referred to George Washington. Someone said, "Being green with envy makes you ripe for trouble. Being green with envy makes you ripe for trouble. What was Miriam and Aaron criticizing Moses about? What are they criticizing him for? Well, look with me, please, at the book of Numbers, chapter 12. Moses married a woman who was not one of them. She was not an Israelite. You say, now, wait a minute. Let me try to make sense of this criticism. Well, try to make sense of it if you can. Moses married Zipporah, who was a Midianite, you remember, when he was fleeing from Egypt. And this was, listen carefully, please. When he married her, it was years before the burning bush. It was years before God commissioned Moses to go into Egypt and bring Israel out. It was years before the plagues. It was before the Red Sea. It was before the Sinai Desert. It was before God revealed himself to Moses. It was before God giving the commandments to Moses. It was before God giving his word to Moses. It would be something like this today. A couple who are unbelievers, they get married. Both of them did not know the Lord. And they got married. One spouse came to know the Lord and the other one didn't. And you would walk out and criticize the believer for marrying an unbeliever. You'd say, this is stupid. That's exactly right. Now you got my point. They both did not know the Lord at the time. How can you criticize the believing spouse? You need to be praying for the unbelieving spouse instead of criticizing. So why criticize Moses? And why now? That's really the question. Because I really want you to learn today the diabolical nature of unfair criticism. The Bible says that you should not marry a non-Jewish woman. Fair enough. That's the word that was communicated to Moses. And I am as strong as anybody about marrying somebody, being unequally yoked with somebody else who's not a believer. But wait a minute. What Bible are you talking about? Moses was married way before the word of God was given to him. But you see, criticism that stems out of envy, that stems out of jealousy, has its own motto. You know what the motto is? My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is already made up. I mean, those type of people, their song is, we shall not be moved. No matter what. Doesn't matter what you're going to tell me, I already made up my mind. There's something else here that I think we need to understand. And it is this. Moses and Miriam and Aaron came from the same family. They had the same father and the same mother. They were Moses' two older siblings. They too have been chosen by God to play a role in the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. Miriam was the song leader and Aaron was the high priest. You can't get higher than that. In fact, it was because of their connection with Moses that they even received this honor and this privilege and this ministry. It was because of their relationship with Moses that they were in this position of authority and position of responsibility. It is because of their connection with Moses and their relationship with him that they became prominent in the community of Israel. Then why is the discontentment and why the criticism? Well, the scripture does not give us a clear answer as to why. And why now? This particular criticism of Moses' wife. Well, there are a group of scholars who say most likely what had happened is that Zipporah, who was a Midianite, died. And then Moses married an Ethiopian woman, dark-skinned woman. And he did this without consulting Miriam. Well, I often say that will do it. You know, if you have an older sister, man, you better check with her on everything. There are some people who are so controlling. I mean, they do not want you to breathe without getting their permission. You know people like that, don't you? And if they were not consulted before every decision, man, they get bent out of shape. But there is a second scenario that I believe I can prove from the scripture. And the second scenario is this. Moses left his wife with his father-in-law Jethro in Midian when he was trying to get the Israelites out of Egypt, while he was training them, while he was teaching them, while he's taking them across the Red Sea, while he was taking them through the Word of God to understand and comprehend, get them out of idolatry and out of adultery and out of the horrible lifestyle that they were in Egypt. During all that time, he's been busy working hard. He left his wife and children with his father-in-law, Jethro. What happened during that time? Well, you know, his sister Miriam, she became the first lady. I mean, she was numero uno. She is the head honcho, you know, the big enchilada. The queen of the castle, Lady Muck, you know. And after they settled in Sinai, what happened? We are told that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, and Hobab, who is his brother-in-law, came to visit him. As a matter of fact, Jethro gives Moses very wise management consultation. Read about it in the scripture. Most likely, when his father-in-law came back, he brought with him Moses' wife. And baby, when Moses' wife came, she stole the show. I mean, Miriam was no longer the queen of the castle. When Mrs. Moses showed up, oh, Miriam and Aaron were stewing in their juices. Man alive, look how many people coming to greet her. Look, she stole the show. Man, look, she's the center of attention. Look what's happening over there. Wow, you know, nobody's talking to us anymore. Look at this. Do you know the reason why anybody would put another person down? Do you know why? To build themselves up. That's all it is. They did not like the spotlight to be on someone else or somewhere else. So they spout their own wisdom and they show they're just as brilliant as Moses is. Man, did not God speak to us too? He did not only just speak to Moses, he spoke to us too. Here's the problem. Brilliance has nothing to do with it. When God calls individuals, I think he seemed to bypass the brilliant people. God specializes in using willing people. Willing people. Not those who are clever in their own eyes. That's our God. But Miriam and Aaron could not understand that. Here's their phony excuse. We know the word of God and this should not be. But you know what? The Bible said that it was only with Moses that God spoke face to face. Look at it, verse 8 in Numbers 12. Only with Moses that God spoke face to face. And they didn't like that. Through the years, I have really been privileged to sit at the feet of some of the greatest men in my life. Great men of wisdom. Great men who taught me a great deal. Many of these men throughout my life have taught me how to handle criticism. One of them used to say to me, listen, when they kick you in the rear end, rejoice, because that means you are in front of them. Another one really taught me to listen to criticism carefully. If it is justified, do something about it. If it is not justified, ignore it. As a matter of fact, we have a saying in the Middle East. It goes something like this. If one person calls you a donkey, ignore them. But if 10 people call you a donkey, go out and get a saddle. But this criticism of Moses was not only unfair and unjustified, it was blatantly sinful. It was sinful. But I don't want you to miss Moses' attitude. If you forget everything else I said, don't miss this one. Don't miss Moses' attitude toward his brother and his sister. Listen, Moses could have lashed out and said many things, and he would have been justified in saying them. But he didn't. He didn't. He could have accused them of hypocrisy and misinterpreting the word of God. But he didn't. He could have defended himself and explained how this has happened years ago. How can you talk about it now? But he didn't. He didn't. Why? Because Moses knew that if they were totally concerned about his past life, if they were totally concerned about his present spiritual condition, they would have come to him one-on-one, or two-in-one in this case, as the book of Matthew chapter 18 advised us Christians to do. But they didn't. They went behind his back and said, oh, he married this woman. Man, this woman is just not one of us. Man, she's going to take his heart away from us. And they got the rumor mill going. You see, Moses knew that they were serving their own purposes, not the purpose of God. Moses knew in his heart that they wanted others to know that they are just as important as he is, if not more important. Take notice of them. And that is why they made this accusation in public and behind his back. But, oh, Moses exhibited the spirit of forgiveness. I want to tell you something. On my day when I fast and pray and listen to the Lord and prepare my message, I remember I found myself, after I read this passage and worked on my message, I really did, I found myself on my knees saying, oh God, I want to be like that. I want to be like Moses. Give me that spirit. Listen to me very carefully. I am not saying that it is not right sometimes to defend yourself against false accusers. I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand me. But in this situation, Moses chose not to defend himself. Why? Because of his humility, because of his deep love for his brother and sister, because of his absolute belief that God is the one who is his defender, because he knew that if God is his defender, he will do a much better job than he can, because he was trying to protect Miriam and Aaron, even though they were trying to embarrass him before all of Israel. What a gracious spirit. What a gracious spirit. For one thing, Moses had never forgotten that Miriam was used in the plan of God to save him from a watery grave. Moses has never forgotten that. It was Miriam who sang the song of praise when they crossed the Red Sea. Moses has never forgotten that. It was Aaron who stand next to him before Pharaoh. And Moses never forgotten that. There's one thing that I don't want you ever forgetting. It is this. Always between the slanderer and the slandered, there is God. There's God. Don't ever forget that. And while it may take some time for God to act, listen, he always does. What did he do here? Look in the scripture. God judged Miriam with leprosy. And Aaron the high priest had to go through the agony of pronouncing that his sister is unclean. I submit to you, this probably was just as painful, if not more painful, for Aaron than for Miriam to get the leprosy. But what did Moses do? Oh, he went on his face and he began to intercede on behalf of Miriam. Oh, God, please heal my sister. You know, as I mature in my walk with the Lord, I find myself not only praying for those who may falsely accuse me, but I'm really more and more, in the last several years, I'm finding myself praying for an opportunity to minister to them, for an opportunity to bring a blessing to them. I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm going to tell you, you're the winner every time you do that. You can never lose. Of course it's not easy. But what I'm testifying to you is this. It gets easier when you decide in your heart to do that. God responds to Moses' prayer, but he would not heal Miriam immediately. I mean, God could have clicked his fingers and Miriam would have been healed, but he didn't do it. Why? Why did God take 7 days to bring healing into Miriam's life? Well, God was teaching all of Israel a very important lesson. He was teaching all of Israel that you cannot make false accusation and get away with it as far as God is concerned. Let me ask you this. Are you a critical person? I mean, are you a person who kind of pulled the trigger and then asked questions later? I want to plead with you to repent of this today. God wants to heal you and deliver you from this. Because I got news for you. As believers start criticizing each other, Satan is having a ball. Because their eyes are off the gospel, their eyes are off the lost, their eyes off the kingdom of God, and on criticizing each other. Are you a person who's in pain from unjust criticism? Some of you are hurt, wounded, almost to the point of sickness, about unfair criticism, somebody showering you with criticism. I want you to take those to the Lord right now. Pray for those people. Pray that God will give you an opportunity to minister to them. Shall we pray? God, you are the searcher of our hearts. God, you are our defender. God, you are our convictor. Please take a moment and ask the Lord, Lord, do I have a critical spirit? Please deliver me from it. Lord, have I allowed hurt and pain to get deep into my heart and have not passed it onto the cross of Calvary? I do that now. Lord, we pray for those who falsely accuse us. Bless them. Give us an opportunity to minister to them. Show them the love of Christ. For it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Dr. Michael Youssef, recently featured on Leading the Way. If you'd like to know more about us, please visit ltw.org. That's ltw.org.